got to be in constant awareness of the presence of Christ within you and outside of you throughout the length of the village, the town, the city, the universe. This is your invisible ally and invisible identity. We'll have to now come to some understanding that the Christ is a reality. It's not something we talk about. We need our conviction that Christ knows, that Christ does, that Christ is. And we need our conviction that wherever there is an individual who doesn't know the Christ, that's a dark spot. And over there, another dark spot. And over here and there. But there are some light spots. And we're going to multiply those light spots. And we're going to recognize that where the dark spots are, the light is. And we want to establish the one important thing to a healer, that you're not doing the work, no individual does it. This network of the invisible infinite Christ is the healer. And it is here, it is now, it is real. And the infinite Christ, when you are connected to it by simply accepting He is and I am, and dwelling in that, the infinite Christ will ignite. He will do incredible things. We're going to try to see if we can't find part of that feeling in ourselves and practice it. We have certain rules, but we'll get to those later. Let's dwell on the fact that Christ is your invisibility, but it's also my invisibility, and it's Johnny's invisibility, and it's Mary's, and everybody's invisibility, and they know it to a degree or they don't know it. The degree to which they don't know it is the darkness. The degree to which they do know it is the lightness. We all live with the same Christhood and therefore the same potential to achieve the knowledge of our Christhood. It doesn't matter if you're a saint or a sinner, if you've got $1 million or $10. Everyone has the same Christ. And your idea is to get so conversant with it, and you are the one who can do it. No one can do it for you, because His light for me doesn't go on until I see it, until I'm aware of it, until, even if I don't see it, I accept it. My faith must put in operation what I cannot see is in operation. Now, if we build our lights into the one light, by recognition only, you will have the network. And what you do for that individual, this one individual, you will have a universal network saying, this is the Christ. All the power comes from this universal network. It's not local. It's universal. And it's mammoth. You can't describe it. Let's dwell on it. Under the assumption that I will, in time, learn to have faith in the universal Christ. And I will learn, by being the Christ, to automatically hook into the universal network, which can produce a healing at any place in the globe at any time. And only through my awareness of it Can I make this happen? Oh, it might happen for someone else, but not for me. It can only happen through my awareness. It will happen for someone else's awareness for them. But if I'm aware of it, then I've got a universe at my command. And believe me, that's what Jesus had at his command. And it is no different for Jesus than it is for John and any person in the universe. I have this potentiality, but so have you. And I'm sure this is what Jesus was saying. You see, to never die means you've overcome all the things that there are to put you down. So when he's saying that, he's saying, you will overcome the world. I have overcome the world, and I'm your teacher. Why can't you follow me? Why can't you say to Pilate what I say to Pilate? Why can't you say to anything what I say to anything? I am your teacher, and I have overcome the world. And I promise you that if you believe in my sayings, if you hear my sayings, you will not see death. I accept it. It's so simple. It's so clear. And then they pursue the thoughts, and they say, get rid of this body idea. You don't have one. Well, all right. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to. How do I get rid of this body? Well, it's an image. I don't have to get rid of it. I just have to know it isn't truth. I can only go with truth. So I've already overcome the image because I know it's an image. Oh, yeah, it gets pains and things. Everybody gets pains. So you get a pain. And you say to the pain, I don't believe you. And either the pain backs down or you back down. I mean it. You say to everything that isn't so, sorry, you're just an image. What did he coin a phrase? White poodles. Look at all those white poodles. Images trying to have power, and of course they have power because I believe them. So you start unbelieving. And you find some of the images do back down. In a couple of days, you get rid of something that usually takes you a month. Now, what about things we have wrong with us right here in this room? Nobody knows it but yourself. Let's look at these images and see what they are. Something's hurting you. What do you mean, you? It's not hurting you at all, see? Is it? Is it hurting Christ? Well, you said, I have this and I have that. We all fall into the trap, don't we? When we don't mean I am hurting, we mean me is hurting, this image. But I can't hurt, I is God. I is the Christ. And if you know that is who I am, then I don't hurt. It's true, isn't it? So you learn to say, yeah, there's a pain, but I, the Spirit of God, the immortal body, I don't hurt. And that's one way to get started with your immortal body, to catch the difference. What is hurting is there's an idea in the world mind, and it transfers itself down to your mind. Your mind buys the idea and incorporates it into your being, and you get a cold or something else. You have no defense over it because you think that's the way it ought to be, and that this is me, so they go together. But this isn't you. Start realizing it's not you. And if you're wise, you'll take that to heart right now. You say, I have... All right. You can't sit through this two-hour class. You mean your body can't? See what I mean? But you're not your body. You are the Christ body. And because you're the Christ body, this body can't sit through, but why do you let this body pose itself as you? What do you have to do about it? Well, if I accept this body as drinking water, as doing this, doing that, doing the other thing, naturally I'm going to get 50 or 60 years of believing in the body. I can't drop the idea that it's not me quickly. But I can start. Because if you let this body be you, it's going to die. And that's the very thing. We have a building not made with hands. A body temple. Holy in the heavens, eternal in the heavens. That body isn't the one you're talking about when you say, this body can't sit here. But that is a concept, and so you must eliminate it. It's just vigilance. After about the 600th time, you'll realize, wait, I'm through with that. I'm just not going to say my body's that way, and it will not be very long before I catch on. And there's a place where a truth that you can't accept becomes acceptable. A place where something that was impossible at one time for you to feel, well, I'll get over that. No. There comes that place where all of a sudden you glimpse possibilities. I can't trace how it happens. I could possibly something spiritual happens to you. And it gives you the start. And you come to another event spiritually. And finally, you can see the horizon where you could overcome this belief that this body is mine, and ultimately something happens in the real body. You're walking down a street and a man comes at you with a knife. And he swings. And you don't know how it happens, but you're still walking down the street. And he missed. You don't know why he missed, or how he missed, but you're still walking down the street. And you think, wait, what happened? Could it be that my real body got me out of the way? I knew of a heart patient. And one day his inner self said, you don't have a heart problem. You don't even have a heart. But your heart is fine. And that patient, reflecting at least a second, said he's free. And he was. This is how it comes about. If you're trying, really trying, Spirit has some way of knowing it. And being all powerful, all intelligence, it has a way of getting across to you that you're making progress. So I'd say that the purpose behind your activity should be, I'm going to realize that the immortal body that I speak about is everywhere. I just become aware of it over here, but there's no limitation to your immortal body. I mean, it extends into infinity. And down here, this little bitty sense of body is substituting for the real all body. And when you get the glimpse of that, I'm telling you, it's 4th of July lit up. And you will get the sense of it because it's meant to be. We're meant to be that. And that's why we're going through the transition in consciousness. We all come in to this awareness in the dark, in relative degrees, each of us, depending on our past image life. And it's our function to outgrow this image and to become an immortal body. That is all our function is on this earth, is to come into our immortal awareness of the Christhood of our being. And when we do that, we come into the soul awareness. You just can't hop that fast. But you do come into the soul. And I'm talking as dead serious as I can because I expect to see everyone again. And I expect to live on the soul realm with the various people that we talk to. Lord knows that we're not playing games and we're not meant to play games, and we're to take this teaching as seriously as it was delivered. And when Joel brought it to us, it came direct from one of God's ambassadors. I got flowers from Joel for today's meeting. They arrived at my room upstairs, said from Joel. And don't think I don't know who they're from, because I know. It said, from Joel, that's all. This friend knows Joel well and wanted me to know that in her awareness, Joel was approving our talk today. And I thank you for those flowers. I think we're on a wonderful road. We have a million opportunities. We have certain responsibilities too. But we have an opportunity to open new lives in people to let in a little light. And for, it's just like growing a garden. You know, there's nothing there and then you come along. And so we have a human garden. And before I came to the seminar, I had a couple of AIDS cases. One was very quick, and he's in Europe. He went there on a vacation to celebrate that he lost AIDS. He took his mother to Europe. But the other one was interesting. I think you'd enjoy knowing some of the little details. This individual from Baltimore, I tell the case because you've got to learn to be discreet in your teaching to others. For instance, he didn't even know about Infinite Way. Now, we can't turn him down for that. And he was recommended by someone who was an Infinite Way student. And this came by way of our meeting in San Rafael, and then out of this one individual had another one call me, and I could see he was an intelligent man, but he didn't know anything about Infinite Way, and I said, well, what do you expect of me? And, well, he said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm just going to try to realize that you're the light. It's difficult to talk to a person who doesn't know the language, so we have to sort of maneuver around it. We can't say to him, I'm going to find the Christ of you, because he might not want to be a party to such a thing. You know, this might be something he doesn't want. And everybody has different ideas of who the Christ might be. So I just said, well, I'm going to find the light in you. Okay. So we went along fine, and I didn't say anything, and I merely spoke to him when he called me up. And he said, I feel pretty good. And then I didn't hear from him for a month or two. And the man who recommended him called me up, and I said, where's so-and-so? And he said, we have a problem there. He said, he read Joel's book. He just started his book, and he says there's a conflict. He can't go. He can't see that teaching at all. He didn't even know he was being trained by an Infinite Way teacher. He said he read certain things that were just a total conflict to his. He's interested in astral something. And I said, well, okay. Anyway, would you tell him to give me a buzz and explain what the conflict is? I'd like to know it. And he called me later. And it turns out that this is, he had a conflict in the reading of Joel's book, that on page such and such, Joel made this statement, and on page such and such, he made the opposite statement. And he says, I don't understand that man. Well, I said, when I started out, I had the same problem. I found the same thing. But when I found the third thing that was, it answered the first, and when I found the third thing, it answered the second, and then I saw Joel's plan was he had two opposing ideas, but when it brought me to the third thing, the two ideas didn't oppose anymore. Oh, he said, well, I'm glad you asked me to call you because my liver's bothering me. Well, I don't know if liver bothers AIDS cases, but I went to work on his liver, and he called in a couple of days. He said, I don't know how you do it, but there's no liver problem. Well, I imagine through the experience of that he'd be open to a few more thoughts I might have. You see how you can't push too far with an individual? You just got to go at a certain speed, and you can't decide for yourself what you're going to do with him. You've got to wait till Spirit makes it possible. So you've got to be patient. And I cite that as a beginning case where I didn't even mention Infinite Way, didn't tell him what I was going to do. He strictly left it up to me, and I haven't heard from him since then, but his liver ailment went away. And then there was another girl who, she called about an internal problem, and I asked her what she did. She ran a dry goods store, so forth. She didn't know what I was going to do, and she didn't even, never heard of Infinite Way at all. But through one way or another, she got hold of me, and she wanted to know what I was going to do. And I said, well, I can't explain it to you. At this point, A plus B equals C, and you'll have to settle for that, and if you feel better, you'll feel better. So when the problem disappeared, she now learns that she was healed. She don't know how she was healed, but I told her I study Infinite Way, and that Infinite Way healed her. So you got to start slow. You can't bash a person on the head with something. Now they're open a little to more, and that's the way you're going to have to go about it. Now, if we want some rules, you can't heal everybody. If this person hadn't called me, I couldn't heal her. And if someone else had called me for her, I couldn't heal her. If someone had called me for the boy with AIDS, I couldn't help him. The person with it has to call you. Just as if you're going to operate on someone calls you and says, will you operate on him? If you're a doctor, well, you can't do that. You got to get his permission. So, the same, you don't operate on a body that hasn't given you permission, and you don't work for an individual who hasn't given you permission. In this work, you just don't touch those things. Well, I hope if that person is here who had a brother who got sick a long time ago, and then when he was healed, she wanted me to heal a boss, and I refused. She got mad and all that, but she learned later that we can't heal them if they don't ask us. And she says, well, how can they ask you if they don't know you? And I can only say it's not my problem. It's not your problem until the person says to you, I want you to help me. It'll just be a torment to you if you have to do it, because There are many complications when you start helping people that didn't ask for it. Legal problems. A relative will call you up and say, you told him this and this and it's causing that. I'm going to sue you and all that stuff. So you just, there's enough people who are going to ask to work on it. If you want to do something privately and not take credit for it, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. But don't make any issue out of helping anyone who didn't ask. They're going to ask you how much is it going to cost. Well, I only know what I've been told. We don't charge fees. So if you want to charge a fee, if you want to make some money out of this thing, I'd advise you not to go into it. You do your work. And your payment is whatever that person decides. If they don't decide anything, that's your payment. You just heal, and you're happy that you can do it. And if this person doesn't pay you, maybe that one will. And it's not as important as it sounds at the when you're on the line healing people. You're interested in the healing, and somehow the income takes care of itself. You find that you're never poor, and patients who are aided will be grateful. And if they're not grateful, they usually aren't aided. That's why. So that's how finances work in this. Now, we would have some rules, I guess. When a child comes and a child is sick and the parent asks you to heal the child, well, obviously a child can't ask you for help. So that's considered perfect authorization. So you accept that case. But if that child is 23 and he doesn't want your help and he wants AIDS, he'd rather have AIDS than have your help. That's his business. I'm trying to say we don't intrude on people's lives without an invitation. And then it's not an intrusion anyway, because your work is silent and your work is usually for the betterment of the individual. I can't depart yet because we've got to come to the realization that there are certain factors which make success impossible. If you try to heal an individual and you don't love that individual, you don't believe he's the Christ. If you don't believe he's the Christ, you won't heal him. And you say, well, if he's the Christ, why does he need healing? I mean, that would be a question that you've got to have answered. If he's the Christ, why does he need a healing? Well, he doesn't realize he's the Christ. Most people don't. You can think of a time when you didn't. And I'll venture to say there are some who still don't. So you're not going to... you're going to need healing while you're the Christ, but the Christ is your invisible self. The Christ is never visible, except in a rare case. And then the Christ wasn't visible. Everywhere you're walking, you're not seeing who's there. Everywhere you're walking, perfection is, and it's not visible. So although he's the Christ, invisibly, he needs help in the outer. And all you're going to do in the outer is change the image. But you're restoring him to that opportunity that you have. The opportunity of being the Christ knowingly. So that you can come into those things which are your birthright. Now then, the individual who has a problem doesn't know he is God life. He doesn't know that he is not ever separated from God, because how can you separate God life from the individual who is God life? But he is living in a sense of separation. And why did God do this? Why would God put me through these problems? Why would God do this? Why would God do that? He's completely apart from God. He thinks of God as another self. And the whole human race is living under the impression that God is another self. But you are living in the impression, out of your inner experience, that God is who I am. God is who He is. The invisible life of every individual is God. There's only one life. And if all of the individuals on earth pass away, that's still God life, and it's still present. And the next crop of individuals gets the same opportunity. There's still God life, and that's all there is. Now, when you are taking the person into human life and trying to make it better, what are you doing for them? So you've got thinking, I'm not God life, thinking my life is a human being and I'm just one of another. This one is thinking he's apart from God. Why, what else would I be? Don't I pray up to God, and don't I go to church so that God will be good to me? And you're not making that mistake. You're taking the separate life and the separate person, bringing him into the realization that this is God life, and there is no separate person. There is one life, God. But the physician must heal himself. You must realize this truth about you first. That God life is your life. There is no other life. God life is infinite. There is no other life. A person can never be alive. There isn't any such thing. There's only God life. Now, these are all things that must be worked with until you know instinctively that you are the one permanent, eternal God life. And if you don't believe it, you're just a mortal being who's going to die. Look back at Jesus' teaching. Look back at Paul's teaching. See that all of us are the life that never dies. And you started, at least, on knowing that I am permanent life, and as such, I have the power to establish in other individuals the same truth that I am learning, that they are permanent life, that they are the Christ. And in so doing, you will establish the cornerstone of a productive life under divine law that goes on and on and on to the fifth level, to the soul level. Where then, of course, you're in a position to wait for the bridegroom, and then you're in a position, having achieved that unity of spirit and soul, to still go higher into what is spirit and soul but the Christ, and to finally know that I am that life of Christ which Jesus came to teach was the life of all men. And finally, through your deeds and actions, you will be doing precisely what he was doing. Bringing attention to all men that the kingdom of God life is the only kingdom there is. And it's right here, and then we see how fast we can move up. Now, those are the basics of what we're about to do. If anyone has an objection or feels that there's any reason why he can't work on the fact that he is God life, I think he would do well to see me or to correspond with me, and I will try to set him straight. I'd like to feel that everyone is working on the knowledge that God life is on this earth. It's the only life. I am it. And I'm going to expand my awareness of it. And I'm going to expand other people's awareness of it using caution, discretion, only when they ask. But I'm going to not talk about it. I'm going to prove it. And that's why healing is important. I could say a million things to a lot of people. It wouldn't mean much. But if they get healed about anything at all, what did that? Well, that's called spiritual healing. And they're interested. That sounds pretty good to me. And how does it work? Well, we go into the Christ and how it lights him up. What is illumination? They're all running around talking about illumination. Illumination is Christ realized. In any religion, it's Christ realized. Maybe they don't call it Christ, but what's the difference? It's the realization of divine identity. But that's only a part of it. It's the realization that divine identity is the only identity on the globe, and that it's everywhere. You can cut it with a knife everywhere you go, divine identity everywhere. You can't hurt it. It's perfect. It won't die. It doesn't decay. It doesn't get sick. That's our identity. It will always be our identity whether we die 100 times or not. But there must be the day when you come into the realization of your identity, and maybe that's now. Let's in our meditation make a silent promise to ourselves. I'm not the best person in the world. But I can pledge that I will try to accept everyone I see as the invisible light of God. And that if I'm called upon by anyone to help, I won't rush into it, try to prove that I'm a great healer. But I will take certain steps. And among those will be, yes, I will heal you. Now, if you're phoning me, I'll hang up. Call me back in a week or 10 days or 2 hours. But if you're writing to me, I'll do the same. Very few cases are handled right person to person right now, but it's possible. Most of the stuff will be done all over the world, just as perfectly as if you could do it in a person's living room. So we'll talk about it from that standpoint, because the person in a foreign country certainly isn't going to write you that they're dying. They're going to get right on the phone, and you're going to get a call in 5 minutes. You've got a problem, someone's dying, and you didn't have it 5 minutes ago. And if they're dying, you're going to panic. Well, let's get straight on those things then. There's nobody dying. See, that's what they think. No patient is ever dying. If you got life, how can you die? So there's no death. Nobody in this world will ever die. Not a single person. they'll always come back, always try to find the light that they haven't found. And then they'll come again and again and again. There's no world going to end. There's none of the atrocities and the horrors. There's not even a whooping cough. There's the light and the darkness, and that's all there is to it. The light, in most cases, is inner, so that there's plenty of darkness. Now, when you are taking this little pledge to yourself, I don't want to call it a pledge because it's only something you know within yourself you're doing. You're agreeing that you're going to bring light where there's darkness. And you're not going to hop to it every time somebody tells you there's something wrong. You've got to go about this slowly and carefully. Now, when you've got a particular case, you've got to be sure that you're obeying some of the necessities of success. For that patient's sake and for your sake, you know that you've got to know this person is the unrealized light of God. The light is there, but the person doesn't realize it. The outer appearance of sickness is just the outer appearance. The light never changes. That's what you, that's your steady. You're forever. The light never changes. So while he's saying, I ouch, and I ouch here, and I ouch there, and I got this pain and that pain, he's talking about all the things that are in the outer, and he's the light, which doesn't know he's the light. That makes him a prodigal. It makes him unaware of the Christ, which is the light of his being. See, what you've got to do to heal him, you can't talk to him. There's nothing you can say to him that's going to heal him. So we don't bother to say anything. The patient can go read a book. The patient can lie down. The patient can do anything the patient is comfortable with. You don't even have to have a long conversation with the patient. In fact, when he establishes with you that he wants a healing, you can drop the patient altogether. There's nothing you can do with him. And it would vary. Some practitioners will say, give him some advice. And I say a minimum. The advice isn't going to heal him either. You're still going to be faced with the fact that you have to recognize his light. So I think to just forget the patient. You want to do something to set him at ease, do it. But the healing is going to depend on what you do about him that he can't do for himself. So there's no point in talking to him. You're now establishing who he is. And you should have established that before you started, that he is the Christ, he's the light of God, he's perfect. But there's a misperception that makes him think he isn't. He believes in, he's the image of something, but it isn't of God, see? He may call it he's the image of God, but he isn't. He's just any old image you want to call him, but he's the image of a mortal mind. Anyway, your job is to quickly get inside yourself. And by that, you get outside of yourself. You're not this either, any more than he's that. Now, we all know what it's like to meditate and find our within, in which we get outside of our body, so do that. You meditate. Get out of your body, and you get the click, the feeling, the awareness. And you might get it rather quickly at some time. It just, you happen to be in the right frame of consciousness. You get the feeling that of the presence of Christ in you, and you lift it to that level and get the quick peace. He's got to feel it. He's got to feel better. And you'll hear a call real quick. I feel a lot better. But you, I'm thinking about you, what you must do to yourself, not to the patient. You don't do anything to the patient. He calls and asks for help and you say yes, but you don't do anything to him. Because there's nothing you can do. He might be in Tokyo. There's nothing you can do. But you can touch your spirit to his